Welcome to the Relevant Radio Fall Pledge Drive.
Join the family.
Join the family.
What a 24 hours, what a year, 2020. Here's the election. We are going to have an analysis. What's going on and where are we going? Michael Knowles from the Daily Wire and the Michael Knowles Show will be joining me in just a minute. But let's kick off this hour, a time we need it more than ever, to pray for an end to abortion in the United States and for our needs to be met during our pledge drive. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of virgins, my mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. Coming up, I'll be breaking down some of the propositions across the nation that were passed. We might have focused a lot on the presidential race, but there have been votes casted having to do with late-term abortion, the possession of drugs, having to do with marriage, and so much more. We'll unpack the wins for life, the good things that have happened, but where we're going. Joining me is Michael Knowles from the Michael Knowles Show and the Daily Wire. I think he might be jittery. I don't think he slept all week because I went to bed, and Michael, you were still up giving an analysis of what was going on. How are you holding up?
Well, I think it looks like I'm going to be up for another week if things continue on their present course. But of course, the 2020 election had to end this way. It was ever thus.
Oh boy, we have a lot to talk about. Now, you are Catholic, extremely pro-life, pro-religious liberty, and I want your take on what's happening. So where do we stand right now, and what are your predictions?
To give you the 30-second version of what happened for 12 hours last night and then into all of today, President Trump had an extraordinarily impressive night. We talk often about how the polls are unreliable, and then very often people will defend the polls and say, well, even though they got the outcome wrong, actually they got things right. Nobody can make that argument now. The polls were completely 100% wrong. There is no reason to pay attention to them anymore. The pollsters' clients, the mainstream media, you can't even call them mainstream anymore. The legacy media were completely wrong, and it was a sham. And so President Trump outperformed by huge margins in just about everywhere in the country, and also among different demographic groups. He performed very well, actually better than before among every group except for white men, which is kind of funny because it contradicts the left-wing argument about him that he's some sort of racist or something like that. So he did very well. And yet there were irregularities early on. Coincidentally, I happened to be on speaking with the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, when it was clear that President Trump had won Florida and by a considerable margin. And yet for some reason, none of the networks were willing to call Florida. We said, Governor, right, is there something going on here? And he said, I don't know what's going on with the networks, Michael, including, by the way, the allegedly conservative network on cable, Fox News. None of them would do it. And he said, I don't know what they're talking about. It's a landslide over here. And, you know, the Republicans flipped multiple Democratic seats. So that was clear. It kind of raised some questions early on. Then Fox News was the only news outlet that called Arizona for Joe Biden. Incredibly right. Irresponsible, incredibly premature. This was based on an idea that something like 95% of ballots in Arizona had been counted. That was not true. At the time, it was about 67%. Then later, it was 85%. I mean, it was just a disaster. And by the way, the Trump campaign maintains that they could still win that state. Then you saw President Trump doing extraordinarily well in North Carolina. He then won Ohio. And he was doing extremely well in Pennsylvania and doing very well in Michigan and Wisconsin as well. And then something very strange happened, Tim Marie. The counting stopped. The vote count stopped. I've never heard of anything like this on an election night. But in crucial counties in these swing states, they simply went home and stopped counting the vote. Nevada said that they weren't going to start counting again until Thursday. What is that about? Does not make a whole lot of sense.
Right. But then they started again in the middle of the night, it seemed like, because we woke up to a bunch of votes counted already.
Precisely. So everybody went to bed and Trump had this thing locked up. It wasn't even close. And then when we wake up in the morning, all of a sudden, you find hundreds of thousands of ballots, almost all of which allegedly went to Joe Biden. President Trump outperformed One candidate. And in some cases, I'm not being in any way hyperbolic here. Every single vote went to Joe Biden. It's statistically impossible. Right. And President Trump outperformed his 2016 performance by something like 5 million votes. And now we're to believe that a question of 8,000 or 20,000 votes only in those swing states, which happen to be the only states that weren't able to conduct their count last night, that's what's going to separate this election. There are many more irregularities even than that. And it raises a number of questions about this process, which from the beginning has been fraught because of the unprecedented universal unsolicited mail-in ballots. We've never had anything like it in the history of the United States. And then a court ruling that in Pennsylvania, ballots could be counted as late as 3 days after Election Day, even if they didn't have a legible postmark on them. So who knows? You could have looked at the tally and then found a number of ballots is somewhere else, all for, say, Joe Biden. Lyndon Baines Johnson talked about this strategy for a long time. Franklin Delano Roosevelt talked about this strategy. Ballot box stuffing is a well-known, precedented tradition in American politics. We don't know that is what is happening here, but as we look at this election right now, to put it bluntly, it appears illegitimate.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about Wisconsin. If I'm correct in understanding this, Wisconsin has more ballots than there are registered voters, if that's correct.
So it's a little complicated. I don't think that is quite correct. Okay. I think, who knows, it's changing in real time. But at last count, there were something like 3.2 million ballots out of 3.6 million registered voters. But by the way, that doesn't exonerate what's going on in Wisconsin, because in certain areas in Wisconsin, you would have to have a greater than 80% voter participation rate. In some places around the country, you'd have to have a greater than 100% voter participation rate. That is statistically impossible. And so there are obviously some shenanigans going on here. Now, the question is, there is cheating. There's no doubt about that. The question is the cheating enough to account for the discrepancy in these votes? That we do not know. And the only way we're going to know this is if the Trump campaign litigates. And I certainly hope that they will.
Okay, so if you're just joining us, you're listening to Trending with Tim Murray here on Relevant Radio. That's Michael Knowles from the Daily Wire giving us the update on the election. Things are constantly changing and in a state of unknown. So the next question, Michael, is what's going to happen? Will this go to the Supreme Court?
President Trump is promising to take this to the Supreme Court, at least a few questions of it. I mean, for those of us who remember Bush v. Gore, which was this 38-day madness where Al Gore refused to concede the election. And in that case, he was the belligerent in the recounts. And the process went on and on. It's too complicated to recount here. But ultimately, after 38 days, went to the Supreme Court. They end up stopping the additional recounts. We could be looking at a situation of Bush v. Gore times three or times four. We have seen a lot of evidence of problems in Pennsylvania. Republican poll watchers were not permitted to watch mail-in ballots being counted in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You're seeing election officials boarding up windows so that people can't look in at what is happening. There have been experiments done by local news affiliates in Philadelphia about the efficacy of mail-ins. They show 3% votes go missing. Obviously, that's plenty to swing an election. And then just the other day, the Attorney General of Pennsylvania promised Joe Biden that he would win. That was before the election day. So I suspect that that tweet will be very interesting to a judge if this goes to trial. But as was predicted, and as the Biden campaign prepared for when they hired 600 lawyers to try to win this thing in court, this election may well be decided in the courts rather than by the people.
Right. May the horoscope be ever in your favor. It's a lot of what we're hearing in the background. Man, there's so much to unpack here. And I'm interested in just a couple minutes to get your take on the cultural pulse having to do with abortion, same-sex marriage, sex ed curriculum, because there were some interesting votes, historic votes, actually cast for the first time on some of these issues here in the United States. But before we go there, actually, we're going to have to come back to that in a minute. I want to hear your predictions and how long this legal battle, which is what it's going to turn into, will be drawn out. I'll be right back with Michael Knowles here on Trending with Tim Murray. Don't go away.
Hey, everybody, it's Father Rocky. Here at Relevant Radio, we have a special devotion to St. Joseph. 10 years ago, Relevant Radio was really in tough financial shape. And talking with our local bishop, Bishop Ricken, about our financial situation, he said, "Oh, well, you need a miracle." "Yeah, I know," I said. And he said, "Well, you need to go to Joe." And we did. We made our first of what would become a yearly pilgrimage to the Oratory of St. Joseph in Montreal. And ever since then, things have been going just fine. Do you have a special devotion to St. Joseph? If not, maybe you should. We have two special gifts for you today only at the dollar a day giving level. The St. Joseph prayer book and a beautiful gold St. Joseph medallion from the Oratory of St. Joseph. The book is loaded with over 50 prayers, litanies, and novenas, and the gold medallion was placed on the base of the cross of Jesus in the crypt and on the table of the area of St. Brother Andre. Call now or go online and give a dollar a day for these two very special gifts. 877-291-0123.
We're going to get back to the conversation. Timmery, along with Michael Knowles, in just a moment. Hi, I'm Josh Raymond, along with Timmery here. And we're taking this little time out, just asking you to help support Relevant Radio with your pledge, with your financial contribution. And you can do that by calling 877-291-0123, 877-291-0123, or you can pledge online at relevantradio.com or through the Relevant Radio app. And you just heard Father Rocky, our executive director, talking about this very special thank you gift we'd love to send to you. If you can make that pledge of just a dollar a day, $365 for the course of the year, and it's this St. Joseph medallion from St. Joseph's Oratory up in Montreal. And, you know, he shared a little bit of that story of how we ended up going up there, and had the financial situation of Relevant Radio just turn around by the intercession of St. Joseph. And these medallions have been laid right there before the tomb of St. Andre Bossette. And St. Andre, he's been credited with thousands, literally thousands, of miraculous healings by turning to St. Joseph. And so these medallions, they have that special connection with St. Joseph and St. Andre. And it, again, it's our way of saying thank you for coming in and making that pledge of just a dollar a day. 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. RelevantRadio.com or through the Relevant Radio app.
Josh, thank you for that. Talking about St. Joseph. St. Joseph, we have Wednesdays. Wednesdays, historically in the church, has always been a day to celebrate St. Joseph, to pray for his intercession. You know, we have all these titles for him. Guardian of the Virgin. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Chaste Guardian of the Virgin. Why does this matter? Well, I think that we have these medallions and various sacramentals of the church. It's a reminder for us that we have the saints who are interceding for us before the heavenly throne, praying for us today, and we get to learn and talk about them throughout our week in the midst of anxiety and fear from election or whatever might be going on in your life. That's what we bring here at Relevant Radio: hope, joy, faith in the midst of a culture that can be very unknown.
That's exactly right. And you know, if you want a saint to intercede for you, St. Joseph didn't say a word in the Gospels, not a word in Scripture. He's a man of action, though. Boy, he gets things done. He takes care of Mary, makes sure that everything's okay with the Holy Family. He'll take care of you, too. Make that pledge. Let us send this as our thank you gift for that dollar a day pledge. 877-291-0123, relevantradio.com, or through the Relevant Radio app. Any way that you donate, you're going to be helping Relevant Radio, and you're going to be so glad you did. Come on, join the family, and thank you so much for your generosity.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmery on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
How late were you up last night? How much coffee have you consumed today? My jitters are gone, but I was a little worried I was going to get on the show today, and it would have been a little intense. I was telling my producer, please let me know if I'm getting a little too worked up during today's show. But one person who hasn't slept, who's with us today, is Michael Knowles from the Daily Wire, giving us his take on the election, where we stand. We just heard that update. Michael, what are your predictions for the legal battle? How long, and what do you think the outcome might be?
I think it will be very difficult for President Trump to win this battle. I mean, this is what is so pernicious and insidious about long, lengthy periods of voting or unsolicited mail-in voting is it's very difficult to prove. You know, stuffing the ballot box is a tried-and-true American tradition, and politicians, mostly of the Democratic Party, have been doing that for a very long time, notably two U.S. presidents, FDR and LBJ, as you can read about in Robert Caro's biography of LBJ. And so it's just very difficult to prove. I don't know how they would do it. The one way that President Trump has signaled is that he could demand a means of verifying every vote rather than merely counting every vote, verifying it. But the Supreme Court even and election officials specifically in Pennsylvania have ruled out measures that would do that. And we're told by Democrats that if you even ask people to show an ID card when they go to vote, that is somehow bigoted or racist or I don't know whatever word they use. So I unfortunately think it will be a tough legal battle. The one thing I will say is that Trump's legal team is very strong. They outwitted Bob Mueller. They outwitted Adam Schiff during impeachment. And so there is a chance, I hope, and I hope that the president stays strong on this, because I think what's happening is a travesty, and it's a great embarrassment to America that we can't even conduct an election in this country. Mm-hmm. We appear to be some two-bit banana republic, and that's a great shame.
That's Michael Knowles from The Daily Wire. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray Heard here on Relevant Radio. Set the election aside for president. There is so much that has happened in the last 24 hours. And Michael, and honestly, this is the thing that's really, I think, disgruntling for me, is to see the cultural pulse. Opinions have changed on various issues, from same-sex marriage in comparison to where they were, say, 18 or even 10 years ago, even the possession of drugs and late-term abortion. We are seeing historic votes cast by the people rather than a Supreme Court or an elected official making a decision. So let's talk briefly about the tragedy in Colorado where late-term abortion could have been banned after 22 weeks, but the people voted to have abortion for those late-term babies.
It is a great shame, and it's a bit of an admonition against conservatives. Sometimes we're fond of saying that politics is downstream of culture, which is true enough. What that means is that when a culture makes a certain decision, when people live in a certain way, their political decisions will be influenced by that, and it's true. But the flip side is true as well. Culture is, in a certain sense, downstream of politics, meaning that when we make political decisions and then the government enforces them, that will reinforce and affect the culture also. So when Will and Grace goes on the air, for instance, that is going to radically shift people's minds about issues like same-sex marriage. But then when the Supreme Court comes in and Anthony Kennedy, that romantic poet from the court, comes in and redefines what marriage is from the judicial bench, that will also change attitudes. And it obviously has, in the longer that those sort of attitudes remain on the books, the more entrenched they are in the culture. This has obviously been the case with Roe versus Wade, which has now become the litmus test for all judges. So that is deeply dispiriting, and I think it's a call, getting actually back to the election, for conservatives to engage not merely on the cultural level, but also aggressively in the political level, and to wield the power that the people give us when they do.
This is a responsibility we have as people of faith. The culture and even ourselves can be duped by the fact that, oh, wow, something's legal. That must make it moral, conscionable. And so, unfortunately, you know, we had on many of the state books, abortion was banned prior to Roe versus Wade. It was unthinkable, even hormonal contraception. Same thing with same-sex marriage. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but prior to Obergefell versus Hodges, that, you know, was only really about 5-6 years ago, we had over 30 states, if I think even more than that, that actually wrote into their state constitution something having to do with upholding marriage being between one man and one woman. And then all of a sudden the court changes things, and this is after the people cast their votes. And now we saw yesterday, it looks like Nevada has actually seen that the voters have voted to write into their constitution as well the question having to do with same-sex marriage yet again, but this time the state has flipped. 2002, it voted to ban same-sex marriage. Now there's approval of it. 18 years, the mindset of what is legal has become moral, and people are saying totally different things about this issue.
I think it comes from a misunderstanding of our founding fathers. And again, I have to blame my fellow conservatives here. I'm actually not blaming the left as much. We know their agenda. But for decades, the conservative movement in America adopted a libertarian, or some might say libertine, stance to a number of social issues. They felt that if they merely focused... That's right. You do you. Yeah. Don't yuck my yum. You know, if you merely focus on tax cuts, that somehow you'll have a governing coalition. And what's funny about President Trump is he actually showed it's sort of the opposite. No one cares about those economic libertarian issues. They actually focus more on the social issues. But that's another point. So by giving into the libertarians, who have a mistaken view of liberty, they believe that liberty is doing what one pleases, the ability to do what one pleases, rather than the Catholic understanding of liberty, which is the freedom and the right to do what one ought to do, which coincidentally is the view of liberty shared by the founding fathers. And Lord Acton and other great philosophers of liberty. Because they misunderstand that, we've got a deeply decayed understanding of American liberty, and our founding fathers warned about what would happen when that came to be. We would lose our ability to govern ourselves, and looking around the country at the boarded up shops and our inability to conduct an election, it would seem that they were right.
It's interesting, Michael, you know, working in the public atmosphere, discussing important moral issues. It's fascinating when someone who radically disagrees with you is listening and they continue to listen. And I think it's because so often the conversation is shut down with regard to being free to think about doing something different other than what the mainstream media or the culture has to say. And there was someone who reached out to me just a couple weeks ago who was worked up about same-sex adoption and the confusion that came out a couple weeks ago in an alleged comment from Pope Francis. And it's fascinating to see that, you know, people can sit there and they want to hear options. They want to hear that they're free to act according to their faith. But then all of a sudden you kind of hit that one emotional string, that cord that's going to set them off, and all of a sudden they can no longer listen. I feel as if so often this is what's happening with many of these votes. People agree with us that marriage is between one man and one woman. People agree that there shouldn't be late-term abortion after 22 weeks, but there's that emotional cord that confuses them, and it's a misplaced sense of empathy that I think a lot of people have in our culture.
Yes, and it's based on a deceptive framing of issues. There's a term that is usually misused, just everybody misuses it, myself included, which is beg the question. People think that beg the question means to raise a question or ask a question, but it doesn't. Begging the question is a philosophical term that means you assume your own conclusion in an argument, so your reasoning becomes circular. And that's what happened with same-sex marriage. The debate over same-sex marriage was always, what is a marriage? Does sexual difference have something to do with marriage? And the radicals who foisted that on our culture instead began with the premise that marriage didn't have anything to do with sexual difference. It was just about, I don't know, someone you love, you know, and you have a monogamous relationship. And so then the question became, who has the right to marriage? Well, we agree that everyone has the right to marriage, but the question is, what is marriage? And so
totally
I think that framing is the real issue. You know, the radicals have done this on American history, too. They've said this in the 1619 Project by the New York Times. They didn't say that they want to dispute any fact of American history. They said they want to reframe it. So the country was not founded in 1776, but rather 1619 when slave ships came to Virginia. That's a question of framing, and I think that we, faithful Catholics, people who are culturally conservative, need to defend a traditional framework for our country.
It's interesting because symbolically we can pass various laws such as having to do a same-sex marriage, and we can look at it as if, okay, I can have what you have, but you can't do what we do in marriages, only possible between one man and one woman, and what that looks like and the complementarity. That's Michael Knowles from The Michael Knowles Show heard on Daily Wire. I'll be right back here on Relevant Radio.
Almost halfway through this hour of Trending with Timmery. Josh Raymond back here with Timmery, asking you to help support what you hear every single day on Relevant Radio, and especially this program right now, Trending with Timmery, asking you to join the family and make that pledge. 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. 0123. You can make your pledge online at relevantradio.com or through the Relevant Radio app. And a wonderful level to come in and make your pledge is that dollar a day level, $365. And we were talking a little about it before, but we have these medallions, these St. Joseph golden medallions that have come from St. Joseph's Oratory in Montreal. Each of these medallions has been laid there before the tomb of St. Andre Bossuet, who has been credited with thousands of miracles, thousands of miraculous healings by turning to St. Joseph. And we want to be able to send these medallions, this one to each one of you who calls in and makes that pledge of a dollar a day, $365. You can make your pledge right now at 877-291-0123, relevantradio.com, or the Relevant Radio app. But this is the only hour of trending all week long that we'll be talking about this. This is actually the last hour of the day we'll be offering these medallions. So right now is the time to respond. We're down to 31 minutes left in this hour. 877-291-0123.
Josh, these medallions are so important in today's culture. People of kind of any religion will often take a image of the Catholic Church, an image of a saint, and it's like a superhero shirt. They love it. Oh, this is my guardian angel. Not even someone who practices their faith. This is Saint Joseph, patron of the family. This is something that is truly calling upon the intercession of those saints who have walked before us. Only available today. $365 donation is what we are asking for. We need you to donate to support Trending with Timory, where we're talking about those tough moral issues, where people who disagree with us from across the aisle on same-sex marriage and abortion are listening to the show and they're hearing a different perspective about putting kids first in adoption, about how women are called to have this opportunity of hope and healing even after an abortion. We are hearing from you and others whose hearts and minds are being changed. So please support what we are doing here.
And, you know, I think you're so right, Timory. People want to, they see truth in what the Catholic Church teaches, even if they don't want to acknowledge it. You know, I remember when Ebert was doing movie reviews, he'd say, you know, if there's evil that's happening in a scary movie, what do you want there to help get rid of the evil? You want a Catholic priest. What do you want when you've got somebody praying for you? You want St. Joseph. Make your pledge right now.
The Relevant Radio Fall Pledge Drive continues. Join the family now.
You're listening to Trending with Timory, day after the election. How long will it feel as if it is the election? I want to talk about some of the good news for life, because this is one of the issues that you and I as Catholics have focused on. The right to life for those children who have no voice. This is so important. I'm going to talk a little later about some of the more of those cultural changes that we've seen where people are voting in the wrong way because they're just thinking what is legal is moral, or they think that certain things are necessary in order to get ahead. But here's the good news. Pro-life candidates have won key Senate races fighting against majority groups of pro-abortion advocates. This is incredible. A good example of this is in Alabama, where a United States Senate seat in a major pro-life victory we've seen has been flipped to Tommy Tuberville, who unseated a pro-abortion Democrat, Doug Jones, in Alabama. And this is huge because we're talking about someone who is radically pro-abortion to someone who is incredibly pro-life, who is going to be that voice for that child who has no voice. Now, I think all the time about the example of someone out in front of an abortion clinic sidewalk counseling. The pressure is so intense when you are standing in front of that abortion clinic because you are literally the only person before that baby and that child's death sentence. The only person. And we have to remember that specifically, these candidates who are pro-life are standing on a massive scale to be that advocate for that child. We know, for example, had Colorado passed the abortion ban after 22 weeks, statistics show that more than 400 lives a year in California, abortions that would have been performed on late-term babies, those 400 babies would be saved every year, at least 400. That's a game changer. These are the opportunities to change the culture. We're not just talking about saving one life at a time. We're talking about saving multiple lives. This is why elections matter. And so when we turn these seats to pro-life seats, to pro-life candidates, it's a game changer for those babies and especially for their mothers who often do not want that abortion, who think that they have no choice, who are told that this is what's necessary to get ahead, to have a career, to have an education. And when we have candidates who are helping to put in place pro-life restrictions, really restricting abortion, what happens? Women have less access to abortion. You know what happens when access decreases? The choice to joyfully accept motherhood, even in the face of difficulty, occurs. We've seen this in studies such as the pro-abortion turnaway study that looked at women for 10 years, women who were turned away from having access to an abortion. The goal of the study was to show that these women's lives are miserable. Yeah, their lives came with challenges. But when they were turned away from that abortion, why were they turned away? Because an abortion clinic didn't offer an abortion that late in the pregnancy, or because a specific state had a pro-life law that banned abortion after a certain gestational age. So what happened? These women had to keep their children. They had to make sure that they continue to walk along in their pregnancy. And so these women were pulled because they were turned away. They were, quote, denied access to an abortion. These women, as the days, weeks, and months went on, became more and more grateful that they kept their children. Sure, did stress and anxiety come with motherhood? Absolutely. But they were happy they kept their children. Motherhood was transforming and trying them. This is the gift of new life. It challenges us. It makes us grow. But we've given this cultural out to say, you know what? No thanks. I'm going to pass. And those women who quote unquote pass, don't just pass on being mothers. They carry those wounds for years. And so these key states and these key races from the presidential level to the local level are so important. Another example of a win for life, if you're just joining me, you're listening to Trending with Timory, heard here on Relevant Radio, is Louisiana. There was actually a vote having to do with a constitutional right to abortion. And the vote said there is no constitutional right to abortion. This is a huge deal. Amendment 1 stated that to protect human life, nothing in this constitution shall be construed to secure or protect a right to abortion or require the funding of abortion. So it's saying, no, not in our state. Louisiana spoke up. And this is important because people often ask, what if Roe v. Wade and Doe versus Bolton are overturned? What will happen? What's next? Well, the question is this. What is the existing law in the books? Because many states, as I mentioned earlier on, prior to Roe versus Wade, had actually voted to ban abortion. Since Roe versus Wade, some states, such as Illinois, such as New York, have passed laws to write into their state constitution that abortion is accessible through all 9 months of a woman's pregnancy. So what happens? The existing law in that state will stand for what is going to happen with the abortion law. So what Louisiana just did is they wrote into their constitution to protect babies, to say there's no constitutional right to abortion. So what this does in Louisiana is very important to see, because this is what will happen if and when Roe v. Wade is overturned. You see, the ballot was designed to prevent judges from circumventing state legislation restricting abortion. What it does, essentially, is it puts this back into the hands of the legislators. And so this is so important because, for example, in Kansas, the Supreme Court struck down a law banning late-term abortion as unconstitutional and then upheld abortion as a right, even though abortion does not appear anywhere in the state's constitution. And so by Louisiana saying that there's no constitutional right to abortion, this makes it so a judge can't just arbitrarily determine whether or not a pro-life law should be on the books. This is incredibly, incredibly important because it's defining when does life begin. It defines whether or not there's a constitutional right to abortion. These local state votes matter. They're literally changing and saving lives. And so this is an opportunity for us to be full of hope, even if we feel confused about everything that's going on. There are good things happening because good people have stood up, taken a stance, cast their vote. We see what's important, but we have to remember that our hope's in God, not just the votes we cast, not just a political candidate who claims that he does or doesn't support something. This is why yesterday on the show, we talked about hope, that theological virtue of hope. If you did not hear yesterday's show, go grab the podcast, head over to relevantradio.com/trending and share it. I was hearing from people last night who kept saying, I'm listening to the show on hope right now. I just handed it over to my spouse. I just sent it to my friend because people are in disarray. Maybe you couldn't sleep last night. Maybe you stayed up watching the election. It's important to pay attention and know what is happening, to speak up, to fight for what is right. But if we are standing only from the perspective that what happens in this election will determine our future, then we have taken our hope away from God. We are decreasing our faith. Someone commented to me last night on Instagram saying, this whole election will determine the course of my entire life. No, it won't. Think about the early Christians. They had literally child sacrifice. Think of the Romans. Think about the type of culture they had. Think about the degradation of women. Christianity has brought about legal protection for people that was unheard of. Christianity has propped up women in the culture in a way that no other religion has. The early Christians, even in the face of babies being left out as child sacrifice and abandoned, even in the face of the sodomy that occurred in the culture, even in the face of the degradation of women, those Christians did not say that whoever is Caesar or whatever local official is in their area determines the course of their future. No, they chose to keep the faith, to choose God. You know why? Look to the writings that the early Christians received. Even just yesterday, the readings for Mass were so providential. Please go and read them. Tuesday, November 3rd, Mass readings. Philippians chapter 2, we read St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, the early Christians, where St. Paul talks about how literally Christ emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. And he tells us to pick up his cross and follow him. You don't like your cross? You don't like this election? You don't like the mourning that's going on in your heart because of what's happening in this nation, in your family? That's the cross. And our Lord is offering this opportunity for us to love those we disagree with, to love ourselves even in the face of the anxiety and criticism. Maybe you feel like you could have done more. Maybe that's how you feel right now. Maybe you're frustrated. Maybe you feel like you didn't say the right thing, whether having to do with the election or a family conversation. I challenge you, remember Christ, the words of St. Paul. He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. What are we willing to do for Christ? What are we willing to do to take back the cultural narrative where people are so hungry for truth, hungry for the person perhaps no one has told them about, our Lord Jesus Christ? I'll be back in just a little bit to talk about the cultural pulse of some of the various issues that have passed or not passed in the nation.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media. Here's a Relevant Radio miracle moment.
Through Relevant Radio and through the early church writings, I really came to embrace my new Catholic faith. My husband has grown in his faith. We've grown together over the last 10 years. And so if you need that conversion for your loved one, please pray for them, fast for them, donate to Relevant Radio because it really changes lives. My husband and I couldn't be stronger in our Catholic faith. I mean, it really does happen, and it can happen for your loved ones who maybe aren't living in their faith, who maybe have fallen away from their faith. Just keep praying for them, keep sacrificing and fasting, and donate to Relevant Radio.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you. Relevant Radio is listener supported. Give online at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app.
I never get tired of hearing those different miracle moments, hearing how Relevant Radio has made that difference in somebody's life. And, you know, we talk about impacting the culture, and that's the large-scale picture, but those individual stories, hearing that one person who heard something or had that life-changing moment that transformed them. And so this woman we just heard here talking about how Relevant Radio has made such a big impact on her marriage, and, you know, it's so wonderful to hear. I have heard from different people who have told us about how listening to Relevant Radio, it's been responsible for more children being born in their family. You know, how many lives exist today because Relevant Radio is here? And Tim Marie, you were talking about, you know, our culture, it hungers for truth. And being able to talk about the truth of what is really intended by our being open to life and being able to say, this is what our bodies are designed for. This is what we're called to be, man and woman, when we're in a married relationship, and not closing off the fertility, not closing off that ability to procreate that God has blessed us with. And that's one of the things that I think is so wonderful about this special thank you gift that we're offering for people today, with this St. Joseph medallion, who, you know, just is such an example for men and women, but about what it means to be a silent, strong leader in our family. And we want to send this St. Joseph medallion to you again as our thank you gift for coming in at that level of $365, just a dollar a day. If you make that pledge, we're going to send this to you. And these medallions have been laid there before the tomb of St. Andre Bossuet, credited with thousands of miraculous healings. You can make your pledge of a dollar a day right now, 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123, relevantradio.com, or through the Relevant Radio app. And Tim Marie, we've got only about 13 and a half minutes left in this hour to go.
How many people do we need to donate now in order to make this hour have the support that it needs to continue to run on Relevant Radio?
You're asking me a question that I don't have the numbers in front of me. That's a really good question. But
we need more people to support is the bottom line in order to continue to keep these specific shows, these topics discussed on air. We need you to support this show, Trending with Tim Marie, Relevant Radio. You tune in. We're with you on your drive. We need you to be with us in this mission to continue to give you that information. I was thinking of someone who wrote to me a couple weeks ago, Josh, and he was a daily listener of Trending. I said one thing that rubbed him wrong having to do with the type of lifestyle he was living. And I thought, that's actually good. If we're pricking the conscience, yet you're riding with us every single day in your car, in you're in this battle, this tug of war. This is what our faith is, for us to pick up, to be knocked down at times, to run to confession. This is the life we're calling you to be transformed by the image of Christ in your day-to-day life. And we are challenging you here on Relevant Radio to be transformed by the light of Christ in your own life. So support us. The number is 1-877-291-0123. But most importantly, easy, relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app. And Josh, people also receive a special gift only if they donate online.
That's right. If you make that online pledge, we're also going to send you the Sacrifice of Thanksgiving. It's a recording by Father Richard Simon. You can learn more about that when you go online, relevantradio.com, the Relevant Radio app. You can also make that pledge by calling us, 877-291-0123. Consider that dollar a day level. Let us send you that thank you gift.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Okay, so I mentioned that I was going to continue to cover some of the propositions in just the votes that really surprised me that have occurred across the nation. And one of them really did kind of just cause me to pause, and that was Oregon. Oregon has decriminalized the possession of hard drugs. We're talking about heroin and cocaine. Now, before there was this drug epidemic, this suicide epidemic, I grew up in a community where a lot of people did drugs. A lot of people, you know, it started with the gateway drug of marijuana. There was a pot culture where I grew up, but then it would turn into crystal meth. It would turn into heroin. It would turn into just picking up a tab of acid here and there in a local community while you're at, you know, a sports game. And so to look at what's happening in Oregon, to see that the people have voted to actually make it so that we decriminalize the possession of heroin and cocaine, I really am surprised. Haven't we lost enough loved ones to the drug culture? You know, I see, look at it and I think people are going to be leaving Oregon in droves because the people who want this are going to go there and say, hey, I'm just charged $100 for having this on my person. No big deal. Well, I look at Colorado. Colorado's a state that used to have a lot of families. And I've been hearing from families who have been leaving in droves Colorado ever since Colorado was one of those early states to make it so that it's legal to have marijuana. The growers were moving into their state. The culture of the kids in elementary schools and the high schools changed. It became a very unfriendly place for families because we were living in a culture of you do you. It's fine. It doesn't matter. Well, that culture impacts children. That culture impacts families. It impacts how we interact and live and the examples that we set for one another. And so when we look to examples such as the people voting to decriminalize drug possession, I have to look and say, where are we going as a culture and what are we willing to do to speak up? The same thing with abortion. The same thing with another state passing a sex ed curriculum. It's the first time in the history of the United States that we've actually seen the fact that a specific state is saying that we want comprehensive sex education here in our state. What are we doing? At what point does this become acceptable? It's Washington State, the first voter-approved sex ed mandate in the United States. What we're seeing is 60% of voters in Washington State approved, quote, comprehensive sex education to go into effect at the end of the year. We're talking about a curriculum just like the state of California, with explicit things being taught to young children. This is the time we need the model and the intercession of St. Joseph more than ever. We know that the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches us that parents are to be the primary educators of their children. I'm not talking about just getting your child a good education in math, English, common sense. We're talking about forming souls. We're talking about developing characters. This is what parents are called to, and yet so many people voted for kids to be exposed to radical sex education. This is the moment where I look at St. Joseph and I look at that title he holds of chaste guardian of the virgin. Our culture is so vulnerable right now to various mindsets that truly do impact the hearts, minds, and souls of children and us adults. We think that just because something's legal makes it moral. We need to turn to the intercession of St. Joseph as the chaste guardian of the Virgin to guide us through the confusion of the culture, the anxiety, the fear, the confusion about what chastity is. Chastity is a virtue. It has to do with fidelity to your vocation. Yes, it has to do predominantly with sexuality, but it has to do with that personal interaction in individual relationships as well as culturally in the examples we set for others. Are we taking this virtue of chastity into those moments where we're having conversations about what children should learn in school, when we go to vote? This is an example where St. Joseph shows us how to treat others with the respect that they deserve. Think about it. He is married to the Blessed Virgin Mary. She's pregnant. And he's to be the guardian of her. Someone who's pregnant is more vulnerable than usual, not as capable of defending herself. And here St. Joseph is to be that chaste guardian, that protector of Our Lady. I look at one of the things that Pope Emeritus Benedict said. He said, Joseph was chosen and is appointed to be the steward of the mysteries of God. To be a steward of the mystery of chastity. To be a steward of the beauty of the sacrificial love of Christ given on the cross? Do we turn to him begging his intercession in our lives as we vote? as we conduct our day-to-day business, as we date, as we remain faithful in our marriages, faithful to the vows we have taken, do we turn to Him? This is when we need St. Joseph, to turn to Him as that chaste man, that chaste guardian, who not only protects the Blessed Virgin Mary, but stands before the heavenly throne and also protects you and I.
Well, if you want that special connection to St. Joseph, we would love to be able to offer to you these St. Joseph medallions that come from St. Joseph's Oratory in Montreal. And for your pledge of $1 a day, $365 a year, then we would love to send this as our thank you gift for that level of pledge. You can call 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. You can go to relevantradio.com and make your pledge there, or pledge through the Relevant Radio app. I'm Josh Raymond along with Timmery, and we are into the last 4.5 minutes of this hour, and we will not be offering these St. Joseph medallions any other day this week. I know we've seen over 1,000 of them go, and we had a very limited supply, so I think we've got enough left for anybody who calls in here in these remaining minutes. But again, this is our way of saying thank you for coming in and making that donation, $365 or more. And each of these medallions has been laid before the tomb of St. Andre Bossette out there at St. Joseph's Oratory. Now, St. Andre, also known to so many locals there in Montreal as Brother Andre, he's been credited with thousands and thousands of miraculous healings by turning to St. Joseph. And so that's one of the things. These medallions have that special connection with St. Joseph and with St. Andre. And you can make your pledge of $1 a day, and we'll send it to you. 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. RelevantRadio.com or through the Relevant Radio app. And Timmery, St. Joseph, he holds such a special place here at Relevant Radio as well. He's made such a big impact on what we do as an apostolate.
St. Joseph has been a key person even in my coming into working with Relevant Radio. It was, I believe, either on his feast day or the day before, we were praying that novena to St. Joseph, and we left in the hands of St. Joseph. We were praying that we could conceive a baby. We were praying, you know, am I supposed to work on a daily show with Relevant Radio? And we found out right at the end of that novena, it might have even actually been St. Joseph's feast day. And I went, okay, Lord, I'm willing to go. Here I am. You know, send me. It is an honor to work and have these opportunities that St. Joseph will intercede and call us to work in. And I know that Relevant Radio and our work, so often when some big change comes about, we often present our needs to St. Joseph, and he answers us time and time again to direct the course of Relevant Radio, the shows, and the hosts. But Josh, something I want to talk about here, and if you're just joining us, this is our pledge drive. We need you to join our family. Join us here at Relevant Radio. Give us a call to make your donation. That's 1-877-291-0123. You can donate now on the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com. Josh, what I was going to say is often when there's this national disaster or a crisis or fear about the election, people start to run around with their heads chopped off, not knowing what to do. And then there are all those squirrels, and we're going, squirrel, squirrel, and we're distracted, and we can't really function. We don't know how to help. Well, if you are there and you're not sure what to do, you're upset, this is your opportunity to give, to change the culture. You want to see a different result in the election? You want to see hearts and minds changed and lives saved? Donate to Relevant Radio. Because this is what we're calling people to change their hearts and minds, to live according to the purpose that God has given us. So donate now, 1-877-291-0123.
You're so right, Timmery. You know, we see every single day, and I've talked about this before, but, you know, I worked for a different Christian radio station before coming to Relevant Radio, and we'd get occasional contact from people, and they'd say, oh, yeah, something I heard, it made a difference in my life, or it helped me, or, you know, whatever it was. I have never been a part of something that sees the consistent daily communication with listeners who will tell us, I came back to the church, I came back to confession, I came back, I've started praying more. My marriage is better than ever. All these different lives that have been impacted, and we hear from people daily that tell us how Relevant Radio is doing that. But that's because of your support. We can't do it without your help. And that's why we ask you to make that donation, and especially consider making that dollar a day donation today. Let us send you that St. Joseph medallion, 877-291-0123. RelevantRadio.com or the Relevant Radio app. And stay tuned. Let's pray together here on the Family Rosary Across America coming up next. But please make your donation and join the family.